Madame Tussauds and the French Revolution, The Great Necklace Scandal, Part 3. Well, Marie Antoinette showed the letter that was given to her by the jeweler and showed it to Madame Campan, one of her ladies in whom she had great confidence, and asked her if she could make out what the jeweler was talking about. Madame Campan said it made no sense to her either. The queen asked her to see if Bohmer was still in the palace, and if so, bring him back to her. But they couldn't find him. Marie Antoinette, with her usual heedless lack of thought, simply held the letter in a candle flame and burned it. She was not interested. Had she taken the letter to the king or asked the advice of a responsible person, she could have saved dire trouble. But she forgot it and turned back to her rehearsals for the Barber of Seville. Cardinal Rohan retained the contract that Madame de Lamotte had brought to him, with its clauses supposedly signed by the queen. When the money for the first installment was sent to him, he would pass it on to the jeweler. However, shortly before the date on which the first payment was due, Madame de Lamotte, on the point of leaving Paris for the country, brought the cardinal another letter signed Marie Antoinette, asking for a short postponement of the first installment due. When Cardinal Rohan took this note to Bohmer, the jeweler was much disturbed, for he was in urgent need of the money. The cardinal made him a small payment as interest on the sum due, but could do no more. He himself was severely financially embarrassed in spite of his valuable appointments. He had been forced to sell some of his estate to raise cash and to keep his creditors quiet. The time passed and there was still no sign of payment. Madame de Lamotte had left Paris. In despair, Bohmer decided to talk to Madame Campan, with whom he was well acquainted, and ask her to put his plight to the queen. When Madame Campan expressed bafflement at this peculiar request, the jeweler broke down and poured his heart out to her, including the part about Cardinal Rohan's secret rendezvous, as he believed, with Marie Antoinette in the dark grove at Versailles. There was nothing that Madame Campan could do but repeat this extraordinary tale she had heard from the jeweler to her royal mistress. Marie Antoinette denied any knowledge of such a business. She was particularly outraged that Cardinal Rohan, who she detested and wouldn't even glance at, claimed that he had met her at night in the gardens. Urged by Madame Campan, she realized that the king must be called in to investigate this affair further. Louis XVI's immediate action was to send for Cardinal Rohan, who arrived in his scarlet silk clerical garb. The king accused him of using the queen's name in order to steal the diamond necklace from Bohmer, so that he could sell the gems and relieve his financial difficulties. Cardinal Rohan insisted vehemently he acted solely to meet the queen's wishes and instructions, and gave her the pleasure of obtaining the necklace she coveted. To support his claim, he produced a contract drawn up by the jeweler, with each clause approved by signature Marie Antoinette de France. The queen was astounded. "That is not my signature. I have never signed myself Marie Antoinette de France." The king would have been well advised to go no further, settle the account in spite of the appalling state of the treasury, and cover up the whole affair while issuing a letter de cachet, which required no reason to be given for the arrest and imprisonment of Madame de Lamotte. Instead, he accused Cardinal Rohan of forging Marie Antoinette's signature and ordered his immediate arrest. This order was issued in public before all those assembled at the court, and needless to say, it was a bombshell. The Grand Almoner of France, Cardinal, and member of the powerful Rohan family charged with forgery and theft of a diamond necklace. It was unbelievable. Cardinal Rohan, though bewildered at the turn of events, realized only too clearly that he had been duped, hideously duped, blinded by his obsessional desire for Marie Antoinette's good graces. Before he could be led away, he managed to get a note to his confidential secretary, telling him immediately to burn the papers he could find in the red portfolio. These were the little notes signed Marie Antoinette that had landed him in this terrible predicament. Madame de Lamotte was arrested at her luxurious country house. She already knew what had happened, and she too had done the same burning. The passionately grateful letters of Cardinal Rohan had written to the queen in reply to the forged letters she had carried to him throughout the affair. Madame de Lamotte was clapped into the Bastille, like the cardinal, and complicated matters by accusing, as the instigator of the plot, a so-called alchemist, a charlatan known as Cagliostro. This extraordinary man was celebrated in Paris for his wild and widely spread claims that he was 2,000 years old and had the elixir of life. He was no reclusive sage, but lived in fine style with a beautiful and striking young wife and mingled in high society. There were lengthy interrogations in preparation for the written defenses, Madame de Lamont sticking to her story that she had acted as a go-between on the Queen's personal instructions, indeed commands. It was not until May of 1786 that the case was brought to judgment before the Parliament of Paris, sitting without princes of the blood or peers. Cardinal Rohan had spent the intervening period in the Bastille, a prisoner, but living in a considerable degree of comfort in the lodging allotted to him, always wearing his cardinal robes, his only physical ordeal being an attack of food poisoning from the food cooked in the various pots. This left him pale, weak, and trembling, so that he appeared before his judges he was permitted to sit. By 26 votes to 22, Cardinal Rohan was finally acquitted, discharged of every specie of allegation. A crowd of 10,000 people were waiting to cheer him after the verdict, which was regarded by the people of Paris as a humiliation for their hated queen. Gossip averred that Marie Antoinette had been involved from the start, and the cardinal was one of her secret lovers, and that even her brother, Joseph of Austria, and her brother-in-law, Comte de Provence and the Comte d'Artois, were openly far from certain of her innocence. Madame de Lamont, however, was convicted, branded, and imprisoned. 10 months later, she escaped and joined her husband, Comte de Lamont, in London. People said that the Queen had arranged her escape because the Comte was threatening to publish letters that proved his wife's intimacy with Marie Antoinette, and proved, moreover, that as with the Duchess de Polignac, the friendship of the two ladies exceeded the bounds of normality. Madame Elizabeth naturally found the whole affair shocking, upsetting, distasteful. As a member of her household, hearing court gossip and talk at her uncle's table at the Palais Royal, Marie found silence her best policy. But although she did not find much to admire in the Queen beyond her charm, and deplored, though only to herself, Marie Antoinette's apparently reckless lack of sense and discretion, she always maintained in her later life that Marie Antoinette could never have been guilty of involvement in this sordid mess. No one gave further thought to the wretched jeweler, Bohmer, who was ruined. His great work was stolen, broken up and dispersed, and his debts unpaid. Now, this was something that really pushed the dislike of Marie Antoinette even further with the populace of Paris and the surrounding regions. You notice 1789 is when the revolution is going to break out. This was not helpful by any means. Now, the sources for this: Madame Tussaud, A Life in Wax by Berridge; Madame Tussaud, Her Life and Legacy by Walton; Waxing Methodical, The Life and Legend of Madame Tussaud by Berridge; and The French Revolution as Seen by Madame Tussaud by Chapman. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.